Straight Shooter with Stephen A.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the special edition of Straight Shooter. It's your boy Stephen A. coming at you. Usually, I don't do something on a Monday. That's going to change. Matter of fact, Fridays is going to change too. Because it seems like when people want to talk a lot of smack, they do it over the weekends. You understand? Wanted to live a little bit longer. And, you know, it's one of them situations where you want to make sure that you're able to comment about things when you want to at the end of the weekend, at the start of a new week. And then you want to set the stage going into the weekend. I got enough stuff on my plate, got enough jobs. Got two shows on Sirius XM, got the show on ESPN. Have my own startup production company. So I got a lot of things going on. But there are certain times that you just have to speak up. And I want to preface my comments by throwing out some names. They'll only be first names. I don't have to give the names of my four older sisters. You know who they are. Especially my sister Carmen, the ultimate cook. Got about 10 nieces. Got nephews. Grand nieces and nephews. My team here at Straight Shooter. Solange. Sumatra. The list goes on and on. Juvie, too. What's my nickname, Juvie? Santa Claus. That's what he calls me. Because he says I'm the gift that keeps on giving. They don't want me to comment. They don't want me to push back. My cousin Sean, my cousin Junie, the list goes on and on. They don't want me to push back. My boy Jeff, let me not forget my boy Jeff Brown. He don't want me touching none of this. When people clap at me and me clap back, let me not forget Rashawn and Kevin. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my Lord. Business, the brand. I mean, oh, Lord, please don't do it, okay? On this particular instance, I've instructed everybody to stand down. Because the shit that I've heard talked about regarding me, my character, my career, my work ethic, you wanted my attention. You got it. Now, the latest thing I'm in the news for is this thing with Papaya and the solitaire game and the noise that it has created, because apparently it's had a lawsuit directed against them by a competitor accusing them of engaging in fraudulent activity or whatever it is. And other talents from my day job, ESPN, got involved in the whole promotion of it all. The Mina Kimes of the world, the Dan Orlovskys of the world, the Kendrick Perkins of the world, people like that. And of course, me, because I'm the number one target. And everybody's been, not everybody, but a lot of people have been going off about it and saying, how could, you know, accuse and questioning my ethics. Now, before I say anything, let me read what my lawyer wants me to say. Because I have a lawyer and I have a manager and an agent that are handling these matters. Because once you sign a contract on a dotted line, I'm saying the obvious, but certain people want to act like they're ignorant and they don't know any better. It's not like you could just walk away from a contract. It's not like you could just stop doing stuff once you sign and you agree to and all of this stuff. These are the kind of things that you have to go through. So I'm here to tell you, we're aware of the recent legal developments involving Papaya and the broader skills / gaming space. My team is currently evaluating the accuracy and merits of the claims made. I want to be very clear. I do not support nor condone any company engaging in fraudulent or unfair gaming practices. Thus, my team and I will evaluate the situation and ensure that we are not in support of any fraudulent or unfair gaming practices at all. That is all I am allowed to say at this particular moment in time. Nevertheless, it didn't stop people from coming at me. And one of those people was a lady by the name of Michelle Beadle. She took to going on the attack the latest attack against me. She's been coming at me for over a decade. And if you've noticed, I've never once responded. Not one time. In over 11 years, I have not responded. Even in my book, Straight Shooter, A Memoir of Second Chances and First Takes, a New York Times bestseller, by the way. I'll make sure to get it for you to put it up here in case you didn't see it. You should buy it. Even in the book, I didn't mention her name. But for some reason, which is why my man Juvie calls it Santa Claus, they keep mentioning my name. Let me let you hear what this woman had to say about me in her latest rant. Take a listen.
The guy is making money off of... ESPN pays him a gazillion dollars.
To not work there full time.
To get a lot of stuff wrong and yell, right? And he gets caught playing solitaire during the NBA freaking finals.
The thing that he claims to be a fucking genius in.
And so instead of like, yeah, he doubles down and he does this. If I'm ESPN, like, and I get it. You created this monster. He is bigger than you now. And that's exactly your fault and your fault only. You let him run rampant all over that company and put his face on every... For everybody who's like, oh, he works so hard, I'm going to let you in on a little behind the scenes. He wants to do that. Nobody's asking him.
He's desperate to do
it. He shows up. I told everyone I work with, I will never share a set with that person. Mm-hmm. Ever. Because I don't respect him. And life's too short. So that being said, I'm like, he made you look like fools for handing him a blank check in the first place, mm-hmm. because he doesn't even give a shit about the stuff that he's paid a gazillion dollars to talk about. And now he's turning around and turning that into a money-making opportunity. Yeah. And the money-making opportunity turns out it looks like it's a fraudulent crap business to begin with. Honestly, I'm not a religious person, but I pray for the downfall. I really
it's
do.
It's going to be amazing.
I just...
It's going to be amazing.
Couple of things. To the guy that was sitting next to her, I don't know you from a can of paint. I think his name is Cody Decker. I heard you used to play in minor leagues, like 8 years, and you tried it at baseball, whatever. No shade on you, bro. I don't know you. And I want you to know that anything that I say about your show with her in a second has absolutely nothing to do with you. I know you got to sit next to her and come across as rah-rah and all of that. Bro, this has nothing to do with you. I wish you nothing but the best. I hope your success continues to grow and you make the most of the career that you're trying to have. I know you did short films, produced short films. Man, all the best to you, bro. I don't know you. Don't know you. My comments are strictly directed at this woman, who I will remind y'all I have not said a word about in over 11 years. I've never spoken about her. Do y'all know why? I don't know her. You would think there's some beef that's been going on and has been pervasive throughout the industry for years. It's all because of her. I have never said more than hello or goodbye to her in the initial stages, and we was at one event for ESPN in 2013 or wherever it was, where we might have spoken for a minute or two. I don't know this woman at all. So when you hear her talking about me, please understand, I don't know her. I have no relationship with her. She says, I don't like her. How would you know? It has to be because of how you're acting, Michelle Beadle. It can't be because of me. Because I don't talk to you. I don't know you. I don't talk to you. I've never been around you. We've never had a conversation. We've never hung out with one another. Nothing. We have no relationship. I can sit up here right now, walk outside to the bathroom, pass somebody in a hallway, talk to them for 2 minutes, and that would be more extensive than any communication I have had with Michelle Beadle in all these years. So she's giving off this impression like it's some warfare that's going on. It doesn't exist. If I don't like you, which is true now, it's because of the multitude of times you've been on the attack. And it's dating back to 2014 with the whole Ray Rice thing. Go look in my book. I'm not revisiting that. I don't have to. I've moved on. And I'm doing my thing. But all of this stuff that she's been bringing up, when people are saying, Stephen, it's nonsense. It's she's here compared to you. Forget all of that. I talk about who I want to talk about when I want to talk about it. 99% of the time, I ignore people. But every now and then, you got to raise up. And this is my time to do just that. Because this person is trifling. And I'm not going to go any deeper than that because I don't have to. But she is what she is. My work ethic, let's analyze that for a second here while you talk about your stuff. You are Michelle Beadle. You are on the record saying you refuse to share a desk. Let's talk about that. I do remember when I had some breaking news when you were on Get Up and you refused to have it aired because of me. Is that professional? Is that the right thing to do? Did Mike Greenberg feel that way? Did the producers at Get Up feel that way? Did the bosses at ESPN feel that way? See, I'm still there. You're not. Who you think they favored? You want to talk about me being in front of the camera? Haven't you tried to come back to ESPN? What'd they tell you? Clearly it ain't yes, because you ain't there. Could it be because of that kind of behavior? Because Cody Decker, if you're listening, since you work next to this woman was damn good at her job. She'll never say that about me. No problem. Everyone else does, and my paycheck shows it. You continue to live in your world. I'll live in mine. But I'm a fair-minded individual. She was pretty good at her job. So why are you stuck with a podcast with 2,500 subscribers on Instagram? What happened to ESPN? What happened to NBC? FS1 want you? CBS want you? Where you at? What you doing? You're at FanDuel. By the way, your boss is Norby Williamson, our former boss at ESPN, who had something to do with you being gone. Hey, Norby, how you doing, my man? Miss you, bro. Dinner on you sometime soon, my man. Yes, Michelle Beadle, I know your boss. I know him well. See, I know why you're gone. I know why you ain't back. I know why you can't go to other networks. And the sad part about it is because it's all because of that stink-ass attitude. Evil. You pray for my downfall? First of all, congratulations. Because I didn't know you prayed. I had no clue. I didn't know you were capable of such a thing. The way you act. I'm a monster? Who have I been a monster to? Bringing up Cody Decker's name again. You sitting there rah-rah and going at her and yeah, it's ridiculous, blah, 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 blah. Cody, do you know in 30 plus years in this business, I don't talk about my colleagues and my contemporaries unless they attack me. And 99% of the time, I ignore it. I don't do that. This is Michelle Beadle right here. I'm not a religious person, but I pray for the downfall. It's gross, man. You got to have principles in this thing. Take that off the screen. What are you talking about, principles? Where are your principles? I've been in this business since 1993. I started off as a high school reporter. I went to college to cover colleges at the Philadelphia Inquirer and got promoted 7 times over the years. In 2003, at a time before podcasting and all of this other stuff, in order to elevate yourself to a place where you were giving opinions because there were really no debate shows that were available before PTI and stuff like that came along. In order for you to be in a position to express your opinion, you had to earn it by working your way up the ranks through the newspaper industry. And at the time, there were only 20 African Americans in this country's history that ever became a general sports columnist. I was number 21. I came after the J.A. Adondes. I came after the Michael Wilbons. I came after the William C. Rodens. I came after the Kevin Blackstones. I came after the Brian Burwells. I came after the Ralph Wileys. I came after the Sam Lacys and all of these other people. What were you doing? See, y'all want to talk and talk about my career as if I have no resume. I'm a black man from the streets of Hollis, Queens. How I get here if I didn't work my ass off? You think they were just giving it to me like I had some silver spoon in my mouth? It was earned. And then after the Philadelphia Inquirer, I was still doing Fox Sports before I ultimately got to ESPN. And yes, I do want to work. Right now, you saw what you think my contract is in the newspaper. They're paying me gobs and gobs and gobs of money, right? Wouldn't that be the perfect reason to just do my job and go home and look for nothing else? But it didn't stop me from taking a radio show here at SiriusXM. It didn't stop me from doing another political show at SiriusXM on POTUS Radio. It doesn't stop me from doing my production company and trying to produce scripted and unscripted content. Why? Because I'm a worker. I don't look for shortcuts. I work my ass off all the time. And guess what I'm going to do? Continue to work my ass off. I just finished speaking to my boss the other day and told him to his face, hey, my man, just so you know, I'm here. Yeah, I'm getting paid, but I'm still underutilized because I love to work. That's me. If I got to work 18 hours a day to get the job done, fine. If I got to get work for 20 hours a day to get the job done, fine. Whatever I got to do in order to be successful and to help the network that I represent be successful, that's what I'm going to do. That might be the reason I'm sitting here in a studio I own, by the way. And you're not. And I wonder why that is, Michelle Beadle. Let's count the ways. So, and I'm going to take it in chronological order rather than skip stuff, right? Because I want to make sure that I'm accurate. Okay. You left ESPN for NBC in 2012. Didn't you do that? You did the show, went to do the show, the crossover. In September 2013, it was canceled. I'm sorry, in January of 2013. It premiered January 28th, 2013. It was canceled in September. You didn't even make it a year. It was canceled in 8 months. You had a host that you was working with at the time. And I'm not going to throw his name out there. I mean, y'all can look it up if y'all want to. But know that he left within 3 months. Could that have been because of you? Because we all know you like to do what you want to do and you don't give a damn about napalm and bridges. There's actually videos on social media showing how you say you've napalmed bridges. It's what you do. He left. The show was left up to you. Lasted 8 months because its ratings really cracked 40,000 viewers. 40,000. By the way, I average over 500,000. Sometimes 600,000, sometimes 700,000, sometimes 800,000. In the morning, you on in prime time, drive time, and you couldn't crack 50. What happened? Sports Business Journal, September 25th, 2013. NBC SN has canceled the low-rated crossover. That's a quote from Sports Business Journal. I will name the guy's name because I'm not throwing him out there or whatever like that. No shade on him, but the guy's name was Dave Briggs that you was working for that left you in 3 months. I don't know why. I have no idea. I can imagine, but I don't know. There's a program shift since you were hosting the show solo for the final months. A shift from sports pop culture hybrid to pure sports talk, then back again. A change that Beatles says later confused viewers and producers alike. So the viewers were confused and the producers were confused, but you wasn't. Oh, you knew exactly what you were doing. Okay. On why she left NBC after the show was canceled, quote, so when they canceled my show over there, I made it pretty clear that I would no longer be interested in doing anything for them. I think the idea was they were going to fill me in spots, and that's not why I left. I didn't leave the best sports network in the world to go be a fill-in somewhere else. It was kind of ugly and kind of tense. Just a couple of side notes. January 28th, 2013, you premiered on NBCSN. 36,000 viewers in your debut. Your co-host leaves in April of 2013. Viewership dropped below 30,000. The format was revamped from June to August of 2013. You averaged 35,000 viewers. September 25th, 2013, NBCSN canceled show, quotes it as the low-rated experiment, Sports Business Journal. And then you left. And then you ultimately came back to ESPN. Crossover lasted just 8 months, blah, blah, blah. That's what happened. That's what they're saying here, okay? We also know that you went to Get Up. And we know that story with you and Get Up, okay? But here's a couple of things. It talks about how Skipper wanted you to come on board. Now 5 months into the show. So that lasted NBC 8 months. Then you come to ESPN and you get Up. And 5 months into the show, I'm not saying that it was in that order. I know that you did NBA and stuff like that, but that's neither here nor there. You have another show, and it's Get Up with you, Greeny, Jalen Rose. We all know that Jalen Rose knows his damn basketball. We know what he was there for. We know that Greeny is the ultimate host, one of the most consummate professionals any of us have ever seen in this business, but it gets to you. 5 months into the show, you're done at Get Up. The network even announced a shuffle that gave Beadle a nice NBA landing spot and a couple of more years on her deal. The pairing of Beadle and Greenberg, this is according to Andrew Marchand from the Post at the time, was one of Skipper's final gifts during his large, you know, during his tenure at the network. But anyone who knows anything about Greenberg or Beadle knew it wouldn't work. They are too different in so many ways. They did not look like they enjoyed being on a set together, and it was even less enjoyable to viewers. This is a quote. Okay, then you go there. Despite Skipper's deciding to pay Greenberg, Beadle, and a former Fab Five member Jalen Rose a combined $14.5 million yearly salaries to host Get Up, the program was never set up properly. And she was gone. During that time, however, this is Michelle Beadle commenting about Ohio State coach Urban Meyer, the show, all right, talking about boycotting NFL and college football. You're a sports host getting paid $5 million a year, and you was on a morning show refusing to talk about the NFL and college football. That's professional? That wouldn't have something to do with you, Napalm and Bridges? Then after that, you go over to the NBA. Because it wasn't you. Of course it wasn't you. Why? And the Get Up was failing in the ratings, even though they've won since you've left. It wasn't you. Couldn't have been you. It had to be that. But I digress. You go over to the NBA, and you're gone within a year, 2019. And what did you do when you left? You blamed LeBron James. You said he had something to do with forcing you out. I'm a nobody. He's an ultra powerful dude and blah, 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 blah. And then you tried to blame Rachel Nichols, our former colleague. Like she has something to do with the bridges you napalmed. So that was goals. Now we're talking about my work ethic and how they don't want me. I want to be on camera. Would ESPN let somebody on camera because they wanted to be on camera? And not because ESPN wanted them to be on camera. Does that make any sense to any of y'all in the industry? Are y'all going to sit back and just let her get away with that nonsense? A network puts me on the air because I want to be on the air. Not because they want me on the air. Like they want to pay me the money they're paying me. Really? It ain't because I generate ratings and revenue. Which is something she's never done. But it gets even better. Because after she does that, She also is the sound of her talking about me and how they let her go. And the day, her final day there, they were promoting that I was coming on the next day. Ladies and gentlemen, what does that tell you? That they wanted me on all along and couldn't bring me on because she didn't want me on her show. I've already been on First Take. We're already number one. All I was trying to do was help the show's ratings. Had she listened, she might have still had a job. But you didn't want to do that. Because you want to be all prideful and evil and antagonistic towards me, who's done nothing to you. I've never talked to you. I've never talked about you. I've never said anything to anybody about you. I don't mess with you at all. What interest would I have on any level? But you still acted that way. That's what you did. And when they promoted me, it made you sick to your stomach because at that moment you realized they wanted me on. Ladies and gentlemen, I always make guest appearances on Get Up throughout the years. But that particular year that they let her go, the ratings were bad. And there was a new regime that took over, overseeing the show and everything like that. And they said, we need you on every day. And for the rest of the year, they had me on every day. And it certainly wasn't me alone. There was a whole bunch of people contributing to the show. But we resurrected that damn show. And now Get Up, outside of First Take, is pretty much the top-rated show in the morning across the board in all of sports, with Mike Greenberg leading the way, along with his staff, doing an absolutely fantastic job. Most importantly, they're happy because Bad Apples got out the door. I'm not telling you what they said. I'm telling you what I feel. So now that we get that out the way, that's one place where Beto was replaced. We don't know what happened to MSNBC, NBCSN and stuff like that because, you know, the objective was to get rid of her because it just wasn't very good. And the objective was to get rid of her for Get Up because it wasn't very, very good. And the objective to get rid of her on the NBA was because they got tired of the noise and wanted somebody, dare I say, more pleasant. I'm only guessing because I never asked. All I had to do was look and see. Why does that matter? Because here we are talking about SiriusXM. Ladies and gentlemen, as shocking as it may be for you, I had no idea that the Stephen A. Smith Show on SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, 1 to 3 p.m. every weekday, re-airing 6 to 8 p.m. every weekday, was her time slot because I never paid attention. I didn't know that was her show. I had no idea when SiriusXM came to me to ask me to do the time slot. And then even once I found out, this is the business that we're in. You're assuming you got a contract, they'll reposition you, you'll get another time slot, another contract, another channel, whatever. You're not thinking about anything like that. Did you tell them what happened, Michelle? Did you tell them that once you learned the news, you went Hollywood Reporter, it's embarrassing, and all of this other stuff? Did you tell them all of that? I just want to know, did you tell them? Because you see, these things are important. I want to know if you were open and honest. Did you tell your audience what you did? You went on the air, not just talking about me, talking shit about SiriusXM. You had a contract that was still due for months for you to be on the air. And they told you to get the hell off the air now because of how rude and disrespectful you are. Did you give the money back? Because see, I work for mine. When I get a check, it's because of the hours I put in. When you left ESPN, did you give back the money? Did you sit up there and say, this is my final day, so I don't need to buy out? Or did you take that money and live off of it for years without working? What you do? When SiriusXM, when you just got off the air, and I started in September, when you were off the air June, July, August, into September, you didn't get a check? You talking about me who works for my money, you were getting paid for not working. I didn't know that you resembled a college coach with a buyout and they getting paid for not coaching. That's you. That's who you are. So let me say this. Ladies and gentlemen, I in no way have any desire to ever talk about this woman again in my life. Almost like I did before with that other dude that was clapping at me for years before I finally said something. I felt it necessary to say something today just to make the point. Enough's enough. Enough's enough. I'm not dealing with this nonsense. I'm not going to let people sit out here and think there's some kind of relationship that went sour and that's what must be going on. I don't know this woman. I've never spoken to her. I've never bothered her. And part of the reason is because to call her out, I would have to incriminate others I don't want to incriminate because of the things I know. And I don't want to do that to another person. But she's talking about ethics and work ethics or whatever, and she has none of it. She'll get paid for not working. She cares not what she says or how she says it or how she talks about whoever it is that she wants to talk about. It's LeBron James' fault. It's Rachel Nichols' fault. It's Stephen A. It's Sirius XM. It's ESPN. It's NBCSN. It's never, ever her. She is a waste of my space that I will never allow to happen again. Ain't nobody scared to talk. Ain't nobody scared to clap back. I just got bigger and better things to do. But I just felt like after over a decade of being attacked, enough was enough. I wish her nothing but the best because I pray all the time to a higher force. And under no circumstances do I wish evil or failure or misery upon any human being. I would never pray for your downfall, Michelle. I would never pray for you to fail. I would never pray nor celebrate the fact that you are not as successful as you once were. I wish you nothing but the best. Stay the hell out of my life and I'll stay out of yours. I have no desire to talk about you or to you ever. But that doesn't mean I'm wishing you harm. I'm not going to call you a monster. I'm not going to wish failure in your demise. I'm not going to be evil and unfair and unethical. I'm not going to encourage people not to hire you. I'm not going to talk about you stealing money when you don't. I'm not going to sit up there and ignore your resume. I read your resume. It is what it is. Did a good job with Sports Nation. You did a good job when you were interested on NBA Countdown. You've just never done a good job in getting along with the people that you work for, which is why you, according to your own words, has napalmed bridges. That's you. Don't hate on somebody who was fortunate enough resurrect my career and not make the mistakes you made. Live your life and let others live theirs. I wish you well. God bless. All the best to you. Now let me get to somebody I do know. At least I thought I knew. And that's Miss Kerry Champion. Kerry Champion is a person that used to host First Take, used to work at ESPN, used to do Sports Nation, stuff like that. Did a pretty damn good job, too. And I have to tell you, I was taken aback, and I think the word shocked does apply when it came to this Michelle Beadle brouhaha and seeing Kerry Champion say this about me. Please play cut number 7.
Stephen A., I played that Michelle Beadle clip for one reason and one reason only. I'm old enough to remember being on that show and getting in trouble based on some comments you said about women and whether or not they should know their place when it comes to abuse or non-abuse. Ray Rice comes to mind. Not going to get into the details of all of that. But Beadle just came for you yet again, like she did when I worked at ESPN. I wonder, do you have that same smoke for her that you have for Jasmine Crockett, that you have for Michelle Obama, that you sometimes display for me and Jemele Hill? Do you have that same smoke? I'm sick of it. Keep the same energy. And I call you and I root for you and I say, hey, I got your back. I'm happy for you. But you keep that same energy, sir, for everybody.
You should be ashamed of yourself. You just said, Kerry, you called me, you root for me. Why would you root for somebody that called you out and Jemele Hill, who's your good friend? Because it's never happened. Never. I've shown you nothing but love. What are you talking about? You were hired at First Take in large part because of me. You stayed as long as you stayed and had the support of the people that supported you because of me. Do I need to get bosses to confirm that I'm telling the truth? You know I can. When we see the diverse people that come on First Take, black people, women, the list goes on and on. Who did that? That wasn't happening when Skip was there. That was me. What are you talking about? When have I spoken against you? When have I thrown shade against you? When did that happen? That is a lie. Me? Dogging Kerry Champion? When? And if I did it, why did you call me and root for me? What are you sick of? Or did you just want the attention? You see, we're going to have a deeper discussion right here and now because I'm sick of this. And I'm not going to be scared by women that I have loved on for many, many years as a colleague and as a contemporary and watching folks back. It doesn't mean everything that I'm going to do is going to please you. But y'all are talking without facts. We want to talk about, like Michelle Beadle talked about and other people talk. Ask John Skipper, ask Connor Shell, ask Norby Williamson. I'm usually not supposed to give out names, but what I'm saying to y'all is, whether it's Dave Robbins, is it Burke Magnus, is it Jimmy Pitaro or anybody else, ask them my support. For numerous people that have walked through the walls of ESPN, including you and Jemele Hill, what are you talking about? I didn't want Jemele Hill to leave. I've been on the air religiously stating she's a miss for us. Highly intelligent, very accomplished, good peoples. What are you talking about? When? Can somebody here please find something that on the record when I'm on the air something talking about Jemele Hill and Kerry Champion? You were at the Tennis Channel. And I brought you over to ESPN. Not just me. Had to get approval. Had to get Skip Bayless support because he was the number one guy. Who you think did it? Who you think did it? I can get into a whole bunch of details that surrounded you not necessarily ending up there. If Skip had his way or somebody else had their way, it was me that stopped that. This marvelous, talented black woman who magnetized towards the camera had a flavor and a style and a flair about her that I thought would serve the show well. Ask Jamie Horowitz. Ask him. What are you talking about? That's a lie. I have never failed to support you or Jemele Hill. How dare you say that about me? How dare you say that about me? That has never happened. And if I disagreed with stuff, I'd keep it silent. Just like the brothers and sisters were silent about Jesse Smollett. Like Dave Chappelle said, we supported him with our silence because we knew his ass was lying. That's Dave Chappelle, not me. I'm just saying, the point is, I did not do this. What are you sick of? Are you sick of the attention you're not getting? Because you're not on ESPN anymore? I didn't ask you to leave. It was your choice. It's hard, ladies and gentlemen, to sit here and to listen to stuff like this from people who are supposed to be your friends. When you had a meeting wanting to come back to ESPN, who set up the meeting? Who'd you call? What are you talking about? Why would you do that? Why do I have to sit up here and come on camera because a person that I thought was my friend would be on camera talking about me like that and didn't even have the decency to give me a call or a heads up? That's low, Kerry. I would never do that to you. And you know it. Never, not in a million years. I've had your back and supported you for years. How could you do that? How could you do that? That's all I'm going to say, Kerry. Because I still love you. That was low. I'm going to let it go this time. That was low. There's no way an even so-called friend is supposed to be blindsided with that kind of video. And you brought up Ray Rice. What kind of thing you think that's going to have on me? You know that's just fodder for people out there to come at me with that nonsense, which you know I was innocent of. Just made a mistake using the wrong word. I've never hit a woman. I've never touched a woman in my life. That's all right. I'm a big boy. I can take it. That stung. But I can take it. But I want to get into a bigger subject because you brought up Kamala Harris. You brought up Michelle Obama. And of course, you brought up Jasmine Crockett, Representative Jasmine Crockett out of Texas. And here's probably why you brought up Jasmine Crockett. Play cut one of Jasmine Crockett being at the Shade Room, please. Play that, Griff.
When I first heard the comments, I was disappointed. I'm going to be perfectly honest. And I've never met Stephen A. We've never had a conversation a day in our lives. I was disappointed simply because it was a Black man. I'm going to be perfectly honest. Like, in the work that I do, I anticipate that there's tons of racists or just tons of people that are on the other side from me that will be critical and not focus on the substance of what it is that I'm doing, not focus on the legislation, not focus on the money that I bring in, not focus on the programs that I run out of my district, not focus on how I am very much in tune with keeping my district informed of what's going on in the government, like the meat and potatoes. Like, I get that they will ignore all that stuff. But in a time in which Black women specifically are under attack, and we all know what Malcolm X said about the Black woman, I just felt a way that there was a Black man who decided not to do any research and decided to more so comment on my stylistic approach, which I'm good with people disagreeing or whatever, but to use your platform in order to not only come for me, but consistently kind of have a track record of coming for Black women, I was just very disappointed in him. Like, that was just really disappointing from like a cultural standpoint. As it relates to his apology, I'm gonna be honest, and I'm gonna tell you that like I haven't paid attention whatsoever. I do feel like whatever took place was more so in response to the backlash. And so, you know, it's kind of like, all right, so if you hadn't gotten smoke, like, would you have done it? And I just got to say that I appreciate and love the people, because people that follow me pay attention and they know the things that I'm doing. They understand why I am pushing back on Trump. They understand that Trump is the big threat, not how I talk, but what he's doing, the things that are literally taking people's food out of their mouths, taking their jobs away from them, taking access to education away from them, taking access to capital, whether it's to buy a home or to start your business. Like, they understand that I'm not really the threat as a sitting House member. He is. And so I appreciate that people like spoke out, and I didn't really need to say anything.
You know, I will say this. I'm glad, in a way, much to the chagrin of Solange and Sumatra and others, I'm perfectly happy to address this subject again. Ain't nobody hiding. Matter of fact, y'all done started something. I'm gonna make it a point to do shows like this every Monday and Friday just to see who I wanna check. Because I'm really, really, I'm at my wit's end. So now it's a question about the blackness, because I spoke out against Jasmine Crockett. She accused me of not doing my homework. Griff, put the full screen of her record up there, please, because it's not into my homework, right? 40 pieces of legislation sponsored by Representative Jasmine Crockett, according to Congress.gov. Put what some of those things are up there on that full screen, Griff, please, right now. These are notable recent pieces of legislation sponsored by Representative Jasmine Crockett. The Free Speech Act of 2025. This legislation would ensure the Federal Communications Commission cannot be weaponized by any presidential administration to push partisan politics onto the American people. The Swift Vote Act establishes a $120 million federal grant program to help states procure or maintain electronic poll books that streamline voter check-ins, collect and share real-time wait time data from polling locations, and train election officials on how to use this technology effectively. The Clear ID Act, the Combating Law Enforcement Anonymity by Requiring Identification Disclosure, or CLEAR ID Act, the legislation would protect our communities from immigration law enforcement officers who are abusing their position of authority by prohibiting the use of taxpayer dollars to fund immigration law enforcement operations where officers hide their identity and requiring officers to clearly identify themselves, both verbally and visibly. I really, really like that one. Great job on her part right there with the CLEAR ID Act. How about Abortion Care Awareness Act of 2025? Would increase access to medically accurate information about abortion, including medication abortion. Additionally, this bill would ensure people have access to accurate information about where and how to obtain abortion services across the country, how to avoid anti-abortion centers intended to deceive patients, and how to identify misinformation about abortion care. And last but not least, the Higher Credit Act. Specifically, a bill would create a new design category of a disadvantaged group under the Work Opportunity Tax Credit for displaced disaster victims. All good things. In the end, 10 of the, she's co-sponsored actually 841 pieces of legislation, according to Congress.gov, and 10 have become law. 10 have become law. Props to her for that. By the way, she's very popular in her district. Her constituents got love for her. And the likelihood is that if she ran for re-election as a representative, as a congresswoman, she would win her district again. That is not what I asked. Representative Crockett, my apology was sincere. I don't make insincere apologies. I don't have to. Not at this stage and point in my career. If I didn't mean it, I wouldn't have done it. Because what can anybody do other than complain about me? Which I get every day. If I didn't say it, if I didn't mean it, I wouldn't say it. I'm going to remind you again. 10 nieces, 4 older sisters, 2 daughters, raised by 5 women, black women, powerful, intelligent, smart, strong, take no mess, and all of them love you. I apologized for the unintended effect my comments had, because I didn't mean to add substance or fodder to the president coming at you or Kamala Harris or anybody else calling y'all low IQ. You are a lawyer. You are licensed to practice law in Texas, Arkansas, and federally. My perfect world, I love you on in the Senate, so you voting on these judges. Federal judiciary, where you get to pick and assist in picking judges that are on the courts throughout the United States of America. That's my desire for you. That's where I'm coming from. All these people, and we're having conversations about me asking a question, and everybody's with their fake outrage with this brouhaha because, oh my God, me asking you a question that if calling the president a piece of shit on camera is going to help you and your constituents. You represent 766,000 people. He is petty enough to come after them to hurt you. That's what I was asking. That is an answer I am still seeking. I didn't say anything about you getting reelected. I know they're going to support you. I didn't say that. What I said was, is there something that you're going to be able to get for them if you're going at him like that? Because you need to strategize. That's all I said. But I understood the unintended effect because Trump came out with his vitriol a few days later and I felt bad. And I still feel bad. But it doesn't make what these people are saying accurate. I don't get engaged in misogyny. I didn't engage in disrespect. I have nothing but profound respect for you. I've been trying to get you on this show for 4 months. You have elected not to come. I've had Senator Lindsey Graham, Senator Spencer Cox, I'm sorry, Governor Spencer Cox, Governor Josh Shapiro, Bill O'Reilly, Bill Maher, Senator Joe Manchin, Andrew Cuomo, Zohran Mamdani, your contemporary in Texas, Representative Chip Roy, made time to come on my show. Ted Cruz, your senator, is coming on my show. Oh, Governor Pritzker in Illinois has been on this show. And then last week, Representative Jim Jordan for the House Judiciary Committee was on this show. And Speaker Mike Johnson. You've been invited to 4 months. You were invited before all of them. You haven't been here. AOC was invited. She hasn't been here. It's a whole bunch of liberals that ain't been here. And not throwing any shade on the shade room. But when y'all asked her the question about Stephen A., she didn't really answer. Because what was my question? My question was my question. And it still exists. I'm just not going to go for a representative or the president or anybody else disrespecting women, black women especially. Where's my proof? Play cut two for me, please. Then I saw Trump. And I saw him this weekend. And I saw him bringing up low IQ, low IQ, low IQ. And I said, I got it. I got it. Now, when people look at me and they say, Stephen, where's your sensitivity? Stephen, this sister is on Capitol Hill having to deal with the challenges that she has to deal with. What about that? When I see that, that's when I stand down. That's what I'm willing to say, Representative Jasmine Crockett, I apologize. Because I don't want that happening. I don't appreciate the president talking about her like that any more than I appreciated the president talking about Kamala Harris like that. Any more than I appreciate him talking about Maxine Waters like that. It doesn't escape me that they are all black women. It doesn't escape me one bit. And I understand that. Jasmine Crockett has a law degree. She has a license to practice law in Texas and Arkansas and on a federal level. So I don't appreciate them being talked to like that. And so when somebody says to me, Stephen, rather than point to her and her verbiage and her language and how she talked about the president, what about how he talks? I have no problem with that. I can understand that. That wasn't the only one. Play cut 4 for me, please. Right now, Griff. Now, I voted for Kamala. Even though I wouldn't vote for Trump, I wasn't excited about voting for Kamala either, particularly after I heard about some of the shenanigans that the Democratic Party was engaging in leading up to the election. Yeah, I said it. But I also have sound of when I was defending Kamala Harris when he attacked her IQ. I didn't appreciate that. Former Attorney General in the state of California. Former Senator representing the state of California. Former Vice President of the United States of America. Democratic nominee for the United States of America. I didn't appreciate that. Kerry Champion brought up Michelle Obama. I didn't say anything about her podcast and the kind of content that she's had on that. I only clapped back when she talked about First Take resembling the Housewives of Atlanta or whatever it was. And I said, wait a minute, since you brought something up, I want to remind you that I didn't appreciate how black men were being criticized for even thinking about voting about Trump, that a vote against Kamala was a vote against her. And Barack Obama coming out and bringing up misogyny and alluding to that for any black man that wasn't willing to vote for Kamala Harris. I resented that because black men have been supporting black women forever. They're our mamas and our grandmamas. What are you talking about? Michelle Obama, I've been on the record right on this show saying she would have won an election by a landslide. I have no doubt she would have beat Trump. But I also pointed out that that wouldn't have been Kamala Harris because she couldn't even make it to Iowa in 2020. And the level of black support that she wanted in 2020, you had black people meeting with her in California, meeting with her and telling her they couldn't give her get their support behind her. And you had some black people that were complaining about her from 2020 because they didn't like the fact that she was incarcerating black men at indiscriminate numbers or discriminate numbers. They brought up stuff like this. This is the kind of stuff they were saying is all I'm saying. And in 2024, when she ran for election, what happened? You were able to bypass the democratic process where you had to have a primary because it was waiting for Joe Biden to go on stage and show how incapable he was, to use a kind word, for being the president for 4 more years and how they waited late. And then ultimately in January 20th to 21st, she becomes a Democratic nominee because there's no time to have a primary and to really get into it and to have her face competition. So you're bypassing the process. I brought that up. I can't do both. I can't sit up there and respect that woman and talk about how capable she is, but didn't like the process and how it went down from a Democratic Party that was talking about how the other side was a threat to democracy while they were compromising democracy. I can't do that. But let's get this. Let's put it where the ghosts can get it, because I got to get out of here. Is this really about Stephen A? Or is this really about something else? Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand that with the redistricting that has gone on in Texas, they're positioning it so Jasmine Crockett's address will no longer be in the district she represents? Now, that doesn't stop her from running in her district, campaigning for reelection. But the point is, that's really slick on the Republicans' part. I would say. So considering the things that they're doing with redistricting, considering the fact that it's considered a red state, considering the fact that both of your senators are Republicans and the likelihood of knocking them off is slim to none because the support that she has as a representative in her district far exceeds and swells beyond the support she would have in a statewide election for a state Senate seat. Because you best believe that they would take sound bites from her instead of her record and use it against her in a statewide election because they're masters at it. I was saying that, but y'all hear what you want to hear. When I show up on CNN or I show up on News Nation with Chris Cuomo and the stuff that I say in support of the Democratic Party, who, by the way, I have voted for all my life with the exception of Chris Christie for the Republican seat in Jersey because I couldn't stand Corzine because I thought he was a crook. The bottom line is I've been there doing all of this. Every week I'm speaking up on behalf of the Democratic Party. When I get on Gavin Newsom, it's not because I want him to lose. It's because I want him to win. But I want him to have a winning strategy. So don't move with the 20% with the extreme progressive left. Move where the 80% is, which is the vast majority of Democrats. Don't let Mamdani's election in New York for the mayoral seat fool you. Most people in the country ain't voting for that. New York City might, not New York State. I can promise you that. Not most of this country. I haven't mentioned Westmore. He hasn't been a guest on this show. I haven't mentioned John Shapiro. He hasn't been a guest on this show. I haven't mentioned Democratic candidates that can do some things. Of course I have. Y'all don't want to hear that. Instead, Fox and the right wingers are very adroit at picking something positive that I might say about them, putting it out there, and they do a better job of putting it out there to make their point across because they don't care who's making it as long as somebody's making it. And y'all don't, but you want to blame me. Looking it up, Jasmine Crockett, I am seriously weighing it to the extent that I'm about to spend a lot of money to get data. I'm a data-driven person. I will tell you that I personally believe that Texas needs to do something different if they want a different result. That's just the bottom line. Crockett said she has had multiple conversations with a potential campaign director and is weighing who will be the Republican nominee. She does not believe any Democrat could defeat incumbent GOP Senator John Cornyn. So when I asked the question about you going at Trump, it wasn't that I was ignoring your record. I put your record out there too. I was saying, if they could utilize this against you to go at your constituency, how are you going to combat that? I wanted an answer. But that's where we get to my great biggest point, which is what I'm getting ready to get on out of here. Got my nephew watching me, got his boys watching me, got Solange right in front of me, Sumatra's listening in the area, all the producers, everything. I want to make sure that I say this. I'm not going to let y'all get away with that, with this stuff about men and black men with black women. First of all, to the brothers out there, can we ask a question? Can we disagree with a sister from time to time? We damn sure do it privately. What, we're forbidden to do it on camera? What's up, fellas? You gonna leave me standing here, sitting here, and don't say anything? We can't disagree? Without being accused of disrespect or misogyny? For asking a question? Again, I apologize for the unintended effect, and I meant it. I don't want that to get lost. But what I'm saying is, why are we having this problem? You're trying to make this about the black man and the black woman. Stop. My record speaks for itself. Google me. We ain't going for that. You think I don't know what the hell this is? I ask a simple question. Sit down for this one. If it were Candace Owens instead of Jasmine Crockett or somebody else, what would you have said? If it was the black woman who ran for governor of Virginia and just lost to the woman Spanberger in Virginia, Earl Sears, I believe is her name, Winsome Earl Sears. If I was talking about her, would y'all have said anything? If I was talking about somebody like Sage Steele, our former colleague at ESPN, who's now in the podcast space and doing her thing, would you have said anything? Trying to make this about gender and race. No, this is about politics, ideology. You expect me, as a black man, to stand firm supporting the Democratic Party. That's what this is about. That's what this is about. If I said the same thing about those conservative black women, y'all would not have said a word. So if it's about politics, say so. See, that's where the left gets slick. And this is somebody, you can't say anything to me because I vote for you anyway, because I'm looking at a policy by policy, and I understand the attention that needs to be brought to the desolate and the disenfranchised, to the poorest amongst us, and for us to do what we can to uplift them. That's how I live my life, trying to do it. And even though the Republicans might have some policies and their thought process might be free market capitalism, free land of opportunity, do that, whereas the Democrats might have given blacks more access to capital through some policies and what have you. The bottom line is, on far too many occasions, it's come across like they care more about that than the other side might. Whatever you may think, the fact of the matter is, this is about politics and ideology, and about the left trying to muscle and flex us into doing and thinking and spreading and disseminating what you want me to do. Bump that. I apologize. Fuck that. I'm not doing it. I do what I want to do. I think for me. I voted for Kamala Harris. I voted for Barack Obama twice. I voted for Bill Clinton. Don't come to me acting like, oh, I'm supposed to parrot your speech. You sitting there on the White House lawn dancing with Joe Biden, who was 80. Forgetting you're going to bring up Trump with the rent issue in the 70s, but we're going to conveniently ignore Joe Biden and the crime bill with the Senate in the 90s. And the disproportionate effect that had on black people and incarceration. Bill Clinton apologized for it. It happened in the 90s. He apologized for it in 2016, conveniently when Hillary Rodham Clinton was running. By the way, when the privatization of the prison system took fold, wasn't it some Democrats making money off of that because they invested in it? We didn't bring that up. I can't ask that. I can't bring that up. I can't be suspicious about stuff like that. Come on, y'all. Come on. When I'm talking about Democrats, I'm going to end it by saying this. When I speak out against Democrats, it's not because I'm trying for you to lose. It's because I'm trying to help you win. I told you a year in advance when y'all pilloried me, Biden was not suited to run for re-election. And I was ignored for a year. I'm telling you now, the extreme progressive left and some of the policies they've pushed forth, where everything, and I mean everything, seems to be before black people, I'm like, yo, I don't know if that's going to work for us. I don't know if that is going to work for us. I've said this. And I'm telling you right now, when I say something, it's because I want you to right the ship. I don't want one party rule. I don't want the Republicans to have the House, the Senate, and the White House. I want the House to get the, I want the Democrats to get the House or the Senate back, if not both. I don't want one party rule. I want them to have to work across the aisle for one another, for the sanity of the American people, instead of both sides demonizing one another and none of us are ever to come together. But y'all ain't thinking like that. And in the process of doing so, the emotional bullying is not something I'm going to stand for. I respect Jasmine Crockett. I respect Kamala Harris. I revere Michelle Obama. For Kerry to bring her up was utter nonsense. It was wrong. It was cruel. And that's going to stink for a while. I got two shows on Sirius XM. I got ESPN. Then I have this. I'm not backing up. I will never disrespect any woman, especially my black sisters, who I love and revered and have all my life because I was raised by five of them. I'm not going to defend myself all the damn time. But I'm going to have the freedom to do it when I want to. And nobody will stop me. I can promise you that. That's all I have to say.